Blog Talk Radio. Hey, Leon, I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, brother?
Doing great, man. I understand we had the Munion on the line. I saw that.
Munion, man.
The
Munion is back.
I'm back.
Yeah, Munion is back, man. Headband Munion is like a, what's them little things you knock down and they bounce back up?
Gremlin.
I know what you're talking about. Gremlin? I don't think that's what we're talking about.
No. That ain't it.
I know what you're talking about, though. But we ain't seen it since the Cavs came. We ain't seen Joseph since the Cavs came.
The man said Leroy woke up. Woke up at the house one day. Man, why you didn't tell me the Cavs came?
That was Joseph, man.
Oh, that Joseph.
Y'all know I done had three surgeries since December. I've had three surgeries since December.
Well, you taking stuff out or putting stuff in?
Huh?
Are you taking stuff out or putting stuff in or swapping some?
Taking stuff out.
Okay.
Damn, y'all be sitting y'all be pretty low.
I can tell you one thing, the body is capable of reproducing a lot of blood.
Mm-hmm.
The body is a remarkable organ when you think about it.
I just hope I got enough. I have seen a lot of my own blood.
That's a remarkable piece of equipment the human body is.
But, Joe, you won't use your own blood, will you?
No, I'm talking about bleed from the procedures.
But don't they have to go get somebody else's blood when they cutting on you? Have to borrow some blood from somebody else?
I don't know. I guess I must be making it mainly fast. Because I done lost a lot of it. I just hope I got enough left.
When you getting resurgery, my understanding is they have somebody, they go get some blood from plasma or something and put it in you instead of blood. It's supposed to be like a... Because your blood can't replace it as fast as it's coming out of you when they're cutting on you. So they have to use plasma or something else to fill that void.
Well, I hope they do.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're good, man.
I was sleeping.
When I had surgery about,
you were sleeping?
Yeah, when I had surgery about 5 years ago, they said they totally replaced every, whatever, however much, I should know this, but however much blood, amount of blood I had in my body, they had to replace all of it.
Hmm. I'll tell you something else too, guys. When we are well and able, we should donate. That's what I always keep hearing, that black people don't donate enough blood, because whenever there's a crisis, there's generally not enough blood to fix folks. So they have to go to other communities.
I've just become a blood donor.
Well, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I during cloud? Where am I? Let me tell the audience. Audience, did you hear this? Leon has, hold on there, the audience is a little slow today. They're not paying attention. Leon has donated blood. Man, where am I? Leon has donated blood since his last episode.
Right.
And the audience appreciates it.
Thank you, man. Let's get the audience up, please.
I'm going to go get some blood tomorrow. I'm going to find somewhere. Go ahead, Joe.
I ain't giving up. I got to keep mine for now, boys. I'm sorry.
You what?
Yeah, you need to hang on to yours. You need to hang on to yours. I'm serious. Keep all the blood that's in you.
Y'all can go get some, but I got to keep mine for now.
Yeah, Joe, just
give it. I'm going to go give mine in case you need some more. That's what I'm going to do.
What's your blood type?
R.
I don't think it was a blood type.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the first letter of your first name. That's not it.
I'm old. I'm old, man.
Yeah, most people are old.
Yeah.
Most people are blood type. And the good thing about The good thing about blood type O, you can give blood to anybody, and you can receive blood from anybody if you're blood type O.
Well, I'm O then, all right? I'm O.
Type O, that's the universal blood type.
That's
and furthermore, if you're blood type O, you're less likely to get the COVID.
I'm definitely O. If I'm not O,
he's claiming O. He is claiming O.
If I'm not O, I'm going tomorrow to get everything that's in me pumped out, and I want to put some O in me. I want that O.
Unfortunately, it does not work.
Doesn't work like that.
You can't do that.
No.
No, doesn't work quite like that.
All right. Well, I tried.
Yeah. You know what? You know what, guys? I was thinking today about the plight of the African American community, the situations we keep finding ourselves in, and how we keep ending up in these situations. Why is it everybody can come over here and do well, even better? Everybody excels the African American community on most things. Now, we're doing well in some areas, and a lot of us are doing well. But as a unit of people, we keep falling short. And I thought about this thing. Now, I could be wrong. I could very well be wrong. But I think our issue is to put our faith in faith in the hands of what we call leaders. I'm going to say, if I say nothing else tonight, I'm going to go ahead and get this out. Folks, become your own leader. Be your leader. Be the leader in yourself. You don't need to go out and find a leader. Leaders are human beings. So I think that's our big issue. We keep waiting on the leader to lead us through the water. We keep waiting on the government to do things for us. We have to do for ourselves. We have to make things happen in our communities. We have to make things happen in our lives. We can't wait on the preacher to do it. It's wrong. We're doing this wrong, guys. I mean, we ought to know it's wrong because we're still in the same rut. It's not a difficult thing to figure out. I just tell you how I operate. It works for me. I wake up every morning, I talk to God personally. I ask God what he wants me to do. Ask him to guide my steps, order my steps, and I take off in the morning. And once I take off in the morning, I feel confident that God has ordered my steps. I do the things that I feel like he has directed me to do. I listen to that inner voice, and I move forward. And I think if more of us did that, we'd be in a better place. I think we would be in a better place. And I'm going to yield to the rest of the brothers. I see Minister Curtis Gatewood has tuned in. We have on the radio tonight, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brothers For Real radio show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Now, as I always say, we really enjoy talking to each other, but we would like to hear your points of view. We have some people, we have hundreds of listeners that tune in to us, but we really would like to hear your points of view. We don't want to be entertainers. We want to be conversationists. We would like to hear your points of view. One of the things I wanted to throw out tonight is this thing. I think it's a TechCrypt quote. I didn't bother to look it up. But it's, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Robin and I had a discussion before the show about how one of our practices is to make sure there's nobody we want to dodge on the street. In other words, we have not offended anybody or doing anyone wrong. so that we will not have to be ashamed or afraid to walk out on the streets the next day. That's one of our practices, to make sure we make well with everybody we know so that we wake up in the morning feeling comfortable walking out on the street. We don't want to deceive anybody, do anybody wrong. So our practice is not to deceive. Because once you start deceiving, you got some issues coming. So it's the best thing, it's just the best practice to be as straight up as you know how to be. And if you don't know how to be straight up, study, practice. Everything in life takes practice, and you have to practice not being deceptive. You have to practice being righteous. You have to practice being loving. All right, brother. Help me out.
Leon, I'll take an early stab at it. Two things you alluded to, very poignant, both of them. First one was leadership and how we have to be our own leader. And I share that sentiment because we have to remember that people innately look out for their own interests. And
right.
Who can better serve your own interest than you?
Amen.
And leaders bless their heart. And I think there are some great leaders out here. I think many of them try to serve the masses and serve others and serve the collective. But even with those, it's hard to overcome that innate instinct of looking out for yourself. So even the greatest leaders, we have to look at them as fallible human beings, and it's very difficult to overcome that self-preservation, that self-interest, that looking out for oneself, which further supports your thesis that you do have to become your own leader. Now, I think with that, though, however, comes the responsibility to understand that not everyone is built to be a leader, not only for others, but even for themselves. So we have to reserve a certain portion of our leadership abilities that we are using for ourselves, that we can help those who are not quite as equipped to do it for themselves. And that's where it comes into community, collective, and being selfless. And I think that's where a responsibility is innate, that should be part of each one of us. So that's the first, so what's the second issue you brought up? The one about, you said the, I forgot what the second one was. What's the second one?
Hey, look. Anyway, the only thing what I'm basically saying is we have to be our own leaders. We cannot depend on other people to be our leaders.
Right.
That's the big one.
And that's the big one. And the other thing is that we have to, one of the famous orators of the past, you have to drop your bucket where you are and stop looking for this great grand occasion to do the right thing. There is enough need, there is enough challenges, there is enough things that need to be done around wherever you are. I see people walking down the street, and I see people stepping over trash. You don't need to call the county. You don't need to form a committee. Pick up the darn trash.
Let me tell you this, Robert. Yes, sir.
Let me
tell you this, Robert. We used to, when we decided we want to do some tutoring or mentoring or whatever, we sit around and say, okay, let's call social services and get a list. Let's call the school system and get a list. That's the craziest thing you ever heard of. Now that we looking back, that's the craziest thing you ever heard of. Go next door, I promise you. There's somebody next door.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Go to the
that's
next
right.
block.
Anyway.
Go to church. Actually, 9 times out of 10, there's somebody right next to you. Go to your cousin. We don't need a list. We don't need to go to the school and search for a list of kids that are doing bad in school. When you got 3 out of 10 black kids that can't read on grade level. You don't have to go around and out. Let me show me a, give me a list of people to contact. Go over to your cousin's house.
Yes, sir.
And the thing, Leon Curtis, Robert.
Yes, sir.
I'll go over to your sister's house.
Like you were saying earlier, we're always looking for leaders. We're always looking for leaders. And I have to echo what has already been said. We have to be our own advocate. And,
that's
and
right.
Particularly, and when we start talking about being our own advocates, we got to be our own teacher. So everybody's
right.
talking about, you look around, folks talk about, well, they're not teaching history or black history in the school. Don't worry about them teaching no black history in the school. You teach your own children.
You
learn
you got
own
them all
history.
You got your children 15 hours a day.
That's right. You teach your children the history. You can start by teaching your children your history.
Exactly.
And then and then that work that into, you know, other history. But when it comes to leaders, we are too quick as a people. We are too quick as a people to jump out here behind false leaders. People that don't have no sense of leadership ability, and the only thing they're trying to do is enrich themselves at our expense. And we need to start doing a little more vetting of people, giving them the title of a leader. And we need to stop letting other people select leaders for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, and it's like every organization I ever been in, I mean, and the truth of the matter, I ain't been in too many organizations. And the main reason I ain't been in a whole lot of organizations because if I'm going to be in an organization, I'm going to have to be the leader. I'm going to have to be close to the leader. Because if you way back at the back of the line and you following somebody and you don't know where they're going, he might be leading you off the edge of a cliff. And by the time you get up there, you find out that he's leading everybody off the edge of the cliff. And it's too late then because the people behind you are going to push you over the cliff. So you need to know if you're going to be in an organization, you need to know something about these people.
You need to know these people. Like
you
said, Joseph,
you need
to be near the top. Joseph, like you say, you need to be near the top. Like you say, you need to be near the top so you'll know who the heck is leading this and what direction it's going in. And the type of, we were speaking earlier today about the vacuum of moral leadership. There's a vacuum. I mean, a lot of you guys out here now just talk about something. Curtis, how you doing, man?
Hey, Leon, let me, quick before Curtis jump in, I do remember the other topic we're talking about is how that we have to live a life. We have to live a life so that we don't have to walk out the door worrying about who we're going to run into.
We don't have
to keep going out the back door and going in the garage when it's dark because you don't want to see people that you may have agreed or people that you may have done wrong or somebody who you have disappointed. So I have made one of my goals in life is to live a life so that I don't have to go around worrying about who I'm going to bump into on the sidewalk or worry about who I'm going to bump into. But, see, sometimes now that doesn't mean that you won't bump into folks that you'd rather you didn't bump into because there's some just crazy folks out here. There's some people that you just don't want to bump into under any circumstance. You can live a good, solid life and still some people you'd rather not bump into. But,
hey, Robert, some people out here don't want to bump into, period.
I don't care what the situation is. But you don't want to be done. There's a lot of gray area there. I'm just going to tell you. Some people, they ain't got nothing to do with what you did. It's just them folks you'd rather not see, period. So, but anyway, that was the other thing we had talked about this on the phone earlier.
That's right. We're hearing from all the brothers tonight, except for Minister Gatewood. He's on the line. How you doing tonight, Curtis?
Hi, Leon. How you doing? Leon,
doing good,
Robert Dozer, any other brothers that might be hiding in the back, our sisters, God is good. We love you. To God be the glory. To all of our listeners, we love you. Thank you for tuning
Amen.
In.
Amen.
Yes.
So what's first, if I must come in on the leadership side, what I'd like to do is inject a word from the Lord.
Amen.
A lot of times, you know, we only inject God's word when it's convenient or when it's a particular time on Sunday morning. I don't think the Lord meant for us to have it that way. I think there are teachable moments when the Lord's word will apply. And so one of the things, you know, the Lord does talk about blind leadership that you all talked about, and the Lord speaks specifically in warning people to not be followers of the blind. He said, because if you follow the blind, you both would end up in the ditch.
Well,
that's what the Jesus said. He said, so you know.
That's what he said.
So what's been happening, I think, in the black community, and one of the reasons why I think we often spend our time, a lot of time, in the quicksand or over and over talking about the same issues as we never or very seldom move forward, is because we are in the ditch. And we have never gotten out of the ditch because we keep letting blind leaders of the blind take over. And so, first of all, if we want to talk about requirements of leadership, you know, we should also keep in mind where there is no vision, the people will perish.
A lot of times,
we are just, you know, walking over and over the same thing, doing the same stuff, same backstabbing, same hypocrisy, same envying of the oppressor, choosing the ways of the oppressor. You know, who can out-oppress the oppressor once we get our turn at the wheel. When in fact, you know, the scriptures are very clear in how, you know, we should be leaders like the good shepherd, not as the hireling. Jesus spoke specifically about leadership when he compared the good shepherd to the hireling. He said the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. He knows the sheep. The sheep will know him. He looks after the sheep. But the hireling will run when the wolves come, and he will leave the sheep to be scattered by the wolves. And we are seeing that. We are seeing hirelings at the helm. Hirelings, in other words, the hired hand, who cares nothing about the sheep. That's who we keep putting in front of the sheep. And as soon as trouble comes, as soon as the wolf comes, their hireling runs and leave the sheep to be scattered by the wolves. And those wolves are the wolves of oppression, racism, gangbanging, jealousy, hatred, all these things that we're seeing. Jesus has told us about it. And so we don't apply scripture until we have an offering or a collection plate, where we should be offering scripture and words from the Lord on a daily basis. And so once we get serious about the Lord's word, and apply his word at the time, it will allow us to survive and advance and be protected rather than waiting on church. We would be a lot better off. So the Lord is always telling us how to do this thing. He already knows about the wolves and sheep clothing. He already told us about that. He already told us about the false prophet. He's already told us what to look for, because the false prophet would bear no fruit. You see no fruit being bare, because he's over there somewhere talking about you, or he's trying to tear down somebody who might be in more of a position or willingness or willing heart to in fact produce fruit. But again,
hey.
We have a thing that I refer to as selective scriptural amnesia. Selective scriptural amnesia. We forget all about scripture when it's convenient for our particular agenda, when it's convenient for our wrongdoing, when it's convenient for something, maybe we might have a little thing that we don't do. Maybe somebody may not steal, or at least steal directly, so they might emphasize not stealing. Somebody might not actually physically kill, so they might emphasize not killing. But they're not looking into the mirror of self-examination and saying, what is it that I'm doing to keep the people from going forward out of the ditch? And everybody needs to look into that mirror of self-examination tonight and see what is it that you are doing or not doing that will help us to get out of the ditch.
You got to get out of the ditch, man. You got to get out of the ditch. What you got there, Robert?
I think we gotta, mobilize and focus on these endemic issues that have faced our community, and I think we have to look at find the common ground among us, even the people that we disagree, and realize that we have some really big fish to fry. We're looking at a. We're looking at some problems that could really undo this planet. We got this racial divide. We got polarization like we've never had before. We have climate change. We have people who are actually denying that this climate change is on the rise, that the temperature of the planet is rising. There are some existential threats that are facing not just our community, but mankind. And I think that this is as good a time as anyway. This is a rare moment in history where people, of whatever your disagreements are, if you can find any iota of agreement with somebody, then the people that can agree on the thing that they agree on need to come together and fight some of these issues in society. I think there's too much division. And Leon, you had said that why are we having so many problems that keep rebounding in our community over and over again? It's because of some of these divisions. And these divisions they didn't just happen last night. These divisions are planted. These divisions are planned. These divisions are purpose. They're put there on a purpose to keep us fighting among each other so that we can't attack these big issues that could be our
undoing. You know what I think?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
So I was gonna say I put a call out to anybody who considers himself a leader, and as we said tonight, Leon, that's everybody, because everybody should be leading themselves.
That's right.
Let's look at your brother to your left. Look at your brother to the right, the brother in front of you, the brother behind you, and find the commonality. What do we have in common? What can we agree on? And let's take that and build upon it and go tackle some of these issues that's plaguing our community. I think if we get more of that going on, because we know we can go fast by ourselves, but if we want to go far, we still have to collectively come together on some of these big issues that's too big for one person to fight.
Right. Hey, Robert, Curtis, and Joe, one of the big issues, one of the things I'm noticing about the African-American community is we have so many organizations, so many. I think one of the problems is we think if we're meeting, we are doing something. If we have a meeting, we are doing something. I would challenge every organization out there to stop your convention and start doing something in your community. We travel all these different places and have these different conventions and spending all this money. And the communities are left behind suffering. Then when you come back from the convention, you do absolutely nothing. I'm talking about some organizations that I belong to. You come back from the convention, we come back from the convention and do absolutely nothing. We go up there, we have that good time, we spend all that money. All of these towns and cities that we have these organizations or that we have the convention, sit there and calculate how much money this organization is going to bring or this convention is getting ready to bring into our community or into their city by the millions. This convention is going to bring millions of dollars into our community. That's why they fight for these conventions. But what do these conventions bring back home? Nothing but empty pockets and hangover. Empty pockets and hangover. That's what they bring back. So that's a big issue. That's a big issue.
Yeah, man.
That we have to confront. Yes, sir.
Now, you all know I came into an organization at the age of 10, and as a part of that organization, I came in wanting to do some work. In fact, I refused to be a part of the National Association for the Advancement of Conventions and Parties or the National Association for the Advancement of Chicken Plates. I was interested in being a part of the National Association for the Advancement of Color.
Right.
So conventions and parties and chicken banquets and things like that really is a real problem with some of these black organizations, and especially the largest and the oldest, because of the fact that many of these people have become addicted to the convention. I think one of the most endangering things I probably did as a part of the president of the Durham NAACP is I start making sure that certain people didn't go to the convention. And instead, having the convention or the meeting in the church, have a meeting at the homeless shelter, or have a meeting at the places where the crime and the children are on the streets. And those are the things I started doing in the community, because I understand exactly what you're saying. It's what Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. referred to as the paralysis of analysis. We are talking about the problem all the time. We are analyzing the problem to the point where we are paralyzed just talking about the problem when we should be taking action. And so in order to get beyond the paralysis of analysis, we had to start turning our meetings into an action, a form of action. In other words, if we're going to meet on Sunday, rather than just talking about a meeting, let's make that meeting about what we're going to be doing in education and inviting the parents out who have children who are suspended wrongfully out of school to be there so that we can address the out-of-school suspension problem. Or on a particular meeting day, we decide we're going to address the issues that are going on in the community as pertaining to folks shooting and killing each other. So we talk about the need for making sure that the youth are not being pushed out of school, but in fact, they have a support system within the organizations who consider themselves as the education committee or a particular committee. In other words, those standing committees need to start standing rather than just saying they are committees. If we had actual committees that were actually going to work with these various titles, you have an education committee, you have an economic committee, you have these various committees, then you would actually have an organization that's working for you. But if you just think that it's just supposed to be a title, then you have nothing. And so it's good to organize, but what the worst thing that you can do, and it's good to have a watchdog, but the worst thing you can do is act like you have a watchdog, but the watchdog has no teeth, or the watchdog is asleep, and the people thinking they're being protected while the watchdog doesn't really exist. It'll be best that they know that there is no watchdog than to have one.
But you know what, Curtis?
Or have no teeth or pretending to be a watchdog.
You know, Curtis, what you're saying is, I was listening to what Leon was saying, and what you're echoing is that when I look at sometimes how we run a business, or we have to look at sometimes how we tackle some of these problems. Like when I have a meeting with my staff, I come to the meeting and I tell everybody, and people know this about me, come to the meeting with your sleeves rolled up. We're not here to take notes or to talk about what we did this past weekend. Come there to work, because let me tell you this I know this about human nature. To solve a problem, we need an element called proximity or closeness or nearness. And you have to be close to the problem from a proximity of time and a proximity of location. When you're talking about that problem, you are in the proximity of time. You need to deal with it right then. You need to pick up a phone while you're there. You need to assign something to somebody while you're there. Sometimes that phone call that you're going to get when you get back home and after the convention, sometimes the opportunity has already passed. You need to address that problem when you are there. You have the proximity of location. You leave and now you scattered all over the country and all over the state. You need to address that problem when you have the proximity of location. And I think if people are more adaptive of that approach when they're getting to that problem solving, as we're talking about problems that are facing our community, deal with the problem when you have these meetings and these conventions and these get-togethers. Somebody needs to pick up the phone while they're in that meeting. Somebody needs to bring that problem into that meeting and solve it on the spot, because many times that's going to be the last chance you're going to get to solve it.
That's right. Brothers, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. We're going to talk about what's coming up in September, the Gatewood Brothers Reunion, of course, and, of course, the Gatewood Brothers Reunion.
Even if you don't have shoes on your feet, he'll take you in.
This is the Brothers Reunion Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. We'll be back in just a few seconds, all right?
Love in your heart. So come on.
Come on.
Show, the number to call is 215-383-3872. I have to reiterate the fact that we really enjoy having our guests, but we really would like to hear from you sometimes. So, number to call is 215-383-3872. Well, the brothers are back. Ladies and gentlemen, look, we're back. The brothers are back. So what's going on, man? Coming up September, we'll have our family reunion, first of all, here at the Hollow Center in Morgan, North Carolina. In also on that Sunday evening, we're going to have the brothers, the Gatewood Brothers reunion, correct?
When is that going to be?
That
reunion?
Is, that
will
is
be
the plan.
What day is the brothers reunion on?
September 4th.
September the 4th, yes, sir.
And what day is it? On Saturday or Sunday?
That's a Sunday.
Okay, good.
The Gatewood Brothers reunion will be on September the 4th. That's a Sunday. The family reunion will be on September 2nd and 3rd at the Hall of Center. And on September 4th, we have our the Gatewood Brothers reunion at the Hall of Center as well.
Oh, good.
Brother, let me tell you, that's going to be a fine evening. We're going to have the Gatewood Brothers doing a concert. We're going to sing some of the favorites of gospel music. Things like I'm Satisfied, I Feel Him Moving, the Old Time Religion. It's going to be a good old foot stomping, hallelujah, good time. And so the brothers, just letting the brothers know, we've already sent out the songs, the program, so check your email. Make sure we got our notes and things in place. We're going to do a couple of practice sessions between now and then. But, boy, we are lining up and ready to go. We got a nice backup band to back us up so the brothers can focus on singing. Boy, this is one you don't want to miss.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. You know, I'm not a very excitable person, or I don't want to say I'm not a very exciting person, but I'm not a very excitable person but this is exciting. This is exciting me because I know I just wanted this one of the things I wanted to do. Thank you, Robert.
Even Leon is leading the song.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Got Leon. Every one of the brothers got at least one song to lead. Now, I will admit that Curtis and Joseph are going to carry the weight of the leading, but I think everybody's going to get a couple of songs, at least one song to lead, and that's the way we've always planned it, to keep all the brothers involved, because all the brothers have talent, and you will see all of that talent on display September 4th at the Hollis Center at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Y'all heard that? Y'all heard that? Gonna be at the Hall Center Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And that will be September the 4th. And like you want to know, family members that are listening, the Gatewood Brothers family reunion will be that weekend on the 2nd and the 3rd at the Hall Center. It's gonna be all the way live. It's gonna have some of that. One thing I can pretty much assure you, it has some of the best ribs you ever ate.
Hey, Leon.
Yes, sir.
That guy that made the ribs at your last event. Is he making ribs again?
I have him booked. Yes, sir.
Man, let me tell you, I'm not a rib eater per se. But this past back in June, I ate some ribs at the Hollis Center. I still can't quit talking about those things. They didn't have any, and the weird part about it, they didn't have any barbecue sauce on them.
No,
they were just pure, delicious ribs.
Alvin Johnson is the brother that did it. I didn't do it. I won't even think I did it because they didn't call me. And Alvin Johnson is the brother that did it. That guy can do a rib.
Did you eat any of those ribs? You don't eat ribs, do you?
Robert, do y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, we hear you.
Well, look, since I heard that the man going to be there with those ribs, I will be there.
Get that brother's hand.
I was contemplating on whether I could stop.
He was sitting on the fence. The rib did it.
I said, okay, I'll come. You know, I haven't quite caught the excitement yet that Leon had experienced, but I'm getting there. Those ribs really play play a large role in my ability to get a job.
Y'all wrong for that. I'm going to tell y'all up front, y'all wrong for that, but whatever
tell him to come on.
That is wrong on so many levels.
Yeah. But you see, that's the thing about diversity. You have to try to find what reaches different people. You know, some people they'll be reached by different things and methods. Some people it might what's that man's name, Leon?
Alvin Johnson.
Might take Mr. Alvin Johnson's rib to bring you on out. So for you all who have not yet tasted the ribs, I would strongly recommend that you come out, but don't get too many, because we want some as many as we can get.
That's the problem. Well, see, that's the problem, Curtis, when you're singing, man. You be up there singing, and you just watch folks walking in front of you with big old plates of ribs.
We need somebody on security detail walking the ribs. And one other thing is, for you all who may not know what happens on September 5th, that's my birthday, and I do take September 5th.
Curtis, happy birthday, man. I'm not going to remember to tell you.
Yeah, man.
So September 5th is Curtis Gatewood's birthday to me.
I was looking for Stevie Wonder. We don't have Stevie Wonder birthday song on here. I'm going to play it for you now, man.
Well, y'all can save it too. It gets closer. You can save it too.
That is a little.
In July.
Yeah. It's 2 months down the road from there. You go. Go ahead, bro. Man, we'll forget, man. We old now. You better take it while you can get it.
There you go. I know. Cash out. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. We got an early birthday for Curtis.
September 4th at the Hall of Fame.
All right, that's what I was going to do right now, man. We'll close it out with that, man. We're going to tell you about Dr. Jenkins right quick. For those of you who get Black Business Magazine, Inc., Dr. Jenkins, the retired president of Livingstone College, is cover of that magazine. Not only that, they have a very extensive story, very detailed story of him. The headline reads, Livingstone College President Dr. Jimmy Jenkins Sr., as he steps aside, a legacy is intact. And I'll have to agree. Dr. Jenkins' legacy is intact. He did a lot of great things for Livingstone College. And I'm so very proud of him and so very humbled to have been accepted by him. For our program, our culinary arts program, as well as our arts program, as I mentioned before, he tried to, and we're still in the process of forming a partnership with Livingstone College's Culinary Arts School and our kitchen here at the Hollis Center to be a program for the an extension. I forget the exact word for it, but an extension for his Culinary Arts School at Livingstone College. As well, gave one of our students received a $10,000 scholarship to play tennis. When I say our, I'm talking about the Hollis Center. One of our tennis students received a $10,000 scholarship to play tennis at Livingstone College. And not only that, he awarded on the spot one of our students, Kenya Miles. He gave her a full scholarship to attend Livingstone College. She came before him and sang before him. It was unprecedented. You understand that is unprecedented for Dr. Jenkins to do something like that, for him to present a full scholarship for a person that came before him and just shared their talent with him. So we're very excited.
Well, Leon, that's that leadership we were talking about. Leon.
Yes, sir.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
That's that kind of leadership we were talking about. You don't have to go form a committee or have a convention or call somebody. You have power in your hand.
Good power in your hand.
through your
power in your hands.
That's
the
right.
key is relationship.
That's right.
Yes.
Relationship.
You're exactly right, Rama. You're exactly right. This is a perfect example of having the power.
That's it.
One person. It didn't take that committee. It didn't take calling the NAACP or anybody else like that. It was just like, hey, let's go to Livingstone today and present this to Mr. Dr. Jenkins. And Dr. Jenkins decided on that very spot to present this young lady with a full scholarship to go to Livingstone College. And guess what? That was the college she wanted to go to.
You. You make a difference when you have proximity in time and location. She was there at that particular time, at that particular spot, and he made a difference. He didn't, because if they had broken up and adjourned and went back home, somebody would have forgot, somebody's email would have got lost, it would have ended up on somebody's to-do list. We had been a 2 year, that girl would have been too old to go to school by the time that scholarship got there.
Robert, you know what we call it in my business, we call it social capital. When you
social
have
capital.
Connections, we call it social capital. Everybody has a connection to something.
That's exactly right.
Everybody has a connection to something. Start using your social capital of your community and your youth.
Social capital.
Social
I like that.
Capital. Yes, sir.
I got to use that phrase.
Leon Curtis.
Yes,
Leon Curtis. Talk to me with FinTech.
Who that?
That
FinTech.
Who that?
Well, you don't have the technology behind all this crypto, Bitcoin, and all that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, there was a course that out there at UNC Charlotte. It's a 6 month course that costs $10,000. A 6 month course, $10,000. And if you graduate from that course, you are all but guaranteed a starting salary of $95,000. One of my agents. One of my agents recently completed that course. Excuse me. One of the guys that I'm affiliated with. He recently finished that course. And once he finished that course, the instructor is the man who started the program here in Charlotte. And the reason they started the program or teach people how to do it because they don't have enough people that understand that technology that know how to do it.
Right.
So what he did, he started a class. And, of course, it's open to anybody, but, of course, they say you need to have some type of background in math or computer science or something like that to even get into the class or any way for it to be, you know, for you to be able to have a chance at passing. It says the course is hard as heck. But once you pass it, he said the same day he passed and got his certificate, he got a job offer for $95,000 a year.
Get out of here.
I've been telling people. All these folk running around here acting crazy. There's a lot of money out here to be made. A lot of money. And I just wish I was a young man to go out here and take advantage of some of this stuff. But all these people here running around talking about inflation and running around talking about they can't find no job or don't want to work. They need to get online, find out about some of these tech opportunities that are available. And believe me, buddy, there's a lot of money out here to be made. A lot of money.
Man, thank you for that.
Thank you for that, Joseph. My time is up, brothers. I got to get out of here. I'll thank you for that, Joseph. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing, be your own leader. Be your own leader, man. Come on, man.
You better sign up for that job. You better sign up. I wish we could put that number up on the screen. I want that $95,000 a year job.
Very.
I want that too, bro.
Yes, Lord. Lord have mercy. In the name of Jesus.
I want that too. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up in September, the brothers. The Freedom Festival is coming up also in the first weekend in September. Don't forget that, the Freedom Festival in Morgan, North Carolina. Get your vendorship going on. Get call in, get your vendors. We talk to Mr. Michael Covington, Rachel Melton, those guys. The Gateway Brothers reunion be going on, the Gateway Brothers reunion. Some of the exciting weekend in Morgan, the first weekend in September. Just remember. Yo, I don't know no date. Just remember, the first weekend in September, we are going to be jamming in Morgan, North Carolina. Let's do that song, Bobby. Let's get out of here, man. I got to go.
Let's pray.
Right here, right now. I said, we're